Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio.
Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call.
Duke of Earl.
Yeah.
Milton Berle.
Yeah.
Give it a twirl.
Yeah.
London girl. Suprema. Can I phone that one in?
Suprema roll call.
My name is Sugar.
Yeah.
What's up, Estelle?
Yeah.
You need a Sonos?
Yeah.
I got one to sell.
Suprema roll call.
Suprema. Suprema roll call.
My name's Boss Bill.
Yeah.
And I'm on my knees.
Yeah.
Forgot to prepare for roll call.
Yeah.
Forgive me, Estelle, pretty please.
Roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
It's La Ia.
Yeah.
And my girl Estelle.
Yeah.
We ain't no substitutes no more.
Yeah.
Oh, she know me well.
Explain. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
My name's Estelle.
Yeah.
And I am Litty.
Yeah.
I'm out here doing it.
Yeah.
In New York City.
Roll call. Suprema. Suprema 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 roll call.
I hate y'all for not taking American Boy because I wanted to do mine around that, but I was like,
"Oh, it's too obvious."
That's too obvious.
That's why I did London Girl because I thought it was Captain Obvious. Everybody was going to do that.
I was like, "Let me go for a little bit deep. Let me go a little deeper. I'll go for Pretty Please Love."
That was
me.
Good. You know, that was so good. I was like,
"I went, you're not my substitute no more."
Oh. Hey, you know we got to pay for that.
Oh, say what? That was only 2 seconds. I heart.
Yeah. So yeah, I was going to say I was trying to figure out a way to incorporate. 5'7" being the ideal height.
Yo, it was a blah 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 that made sense. Leave me alone.
No wait,
Everybody gets me.
I know which guy.
Everybody gets me about it.
You were trying to do the.
I was just doing a mumble, and it made sense in the mumble, so I kept the 5'7". It's like, so look, we're doing the vibes, and John is like doing the melody, and he's like, 5'7", and I was like, well, 5'7", that's my tie. It made sense. It's jazz.
Okay, but that's I just thought maybe the conversion of
maybe
English
from
centimeters to English.
Yeah, I was gonna say you might would have been like 6'2", but you made a lot of low self esteem dudes feel like
you mean low height dudes.
The short men have my back. Short guys have my back.
Oh God! Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Questlove Supreme. I am 6'3". Thank you.
I'm 6'3" as well.
Ah, great. How tall are you, Laya?
5'8".
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you wear heels all the time. Steve?
Motherfucker.
My feet are size 13. Yo. That's all I need.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Anyway. Not always a true thing.
All right. So brought to you by the good folk of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Questlove Jenkins. Team Supreme is with us today. We got Boss Bill in the house.
What's up?
And Sugar Steve.
Sugar Steve Jenkins.
Yeah, Sugar Steve Jenkins.
Y'all related to Dice Ball. This is crazy.
Yeah. And
oh, my God.
And yo, he don't be rocking his middle name and his last name enough for
no,
me.
No, he don't.
So, Sugar Burt Steve. Jenkins, to me, is the best MC name of all time. So, I'm sorry, Dice. You are Burt Jenkins to
for
me.
For life.
Yeah. And Laya, hello.
Yeah, I mean,
how are you?
What's up?
What's up? Yeah, unpaid bill must be getting his bills paid because we... I haven't seen him in a month of Sundays.
Yeah, so. He hit me the other day like, I just got back from Sundance and I'm headed to L.A. I was like, okay,
damn, he doing movies?
Yeah.
I'm doing movies too, but I'm here. Damn, Bill.
He said, but
of course, Fonte promised us way back in November he was going out for cigarettes, so.
Still coming back.
We're still waiting for Dad to come back home. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today, of course, needs no introduction. Wait a minute.
I just got that joke, actually, after like 20 episodes about him going out for cigarettes and not coming home.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how most
understand
most
why
fathers
I get
abandon
it. Yeah,
us.
I get it.
Go out for some smokes and...
My dad's a dentist.
He never left.
Nah, man.
He doesn't smoke and he came home.
Yeah.
And I just imagine your dad being like Steve Martin in Little Shop of Horrors, but let's continue.
Wow.
That's a deep reference.
That's my favorite.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, our guest today needs no introduction. She is a Grammy Award winning singer, songwriter, / MC, / voice actress. I will say, I got a lot of Steven Universe questions because I've just recently gotten to crystal rock crystal. Technology.
Yeah, it's good, right?
I used to be one of the people that like laughed at people. All right, side note, the Jazzy Fat Nasties used to always just walk around with like a bunch of crystals in their pockets.
Oh, and, yeah, it's really thing now. It's really
and weird. I thought that was the kookiest shit ever.
That's real.
And now I can't, yeah.
You too?
Me all the time.
Literally, I keep granites and crystals and amethyst.
Welcome.
I feel real silly. Yeah.
He's now a pop. Welcome.
Wow, anyway, back to 98?
Two snaps.
Right.
She hails from my other home, the west side of London. Can I say west side?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I don't know many black people that are from the west side of London.
No, there's a whole contingency of us. We are there.
I see. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome my near Aquarian Capricorn sister, Estelle,
hi.
To the show.
Hi.
You want to snap her in?
No, oh, snap.
Snap, snap. Sorry, excuse me.
He just made me crunchy as hell. Just crunchy.
Nah, you're cool. You're cool.
Oh, granola, crunchy. Got it.
Yeah.
Really?
Took a sec. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, okay. I get it. How are you today?
I am wonderful. It's beautiful outside.
It is.
It's really uncharacteristically nice.
I hope February. Beautiful when
February. It is February.
It is February.
It's February.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
Is it Bill?
Yeah. It's late February right
it
now.
It sure is.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Happy Black History Month, everybody. Almost ending.
It just started.
We're still here.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
That was Steve snapping.
Oh,
ladies
my Lord.
And gentlemen, Steve was snapping. Well, you mentioned in your. I know that we were all winging our roll call, but. You mentioned New York City, but I would like to think that you, are you officially here?
I'm in LA.
Really?
I'm in LA officially. All my clothes are there now, so.
Okay.
That's kind of how I judge
it. But correct me if I'm wrong, the few times like.
Yeah, I used to be here.
I don't want to say like the few times I dropped you off at your house.
Nah, the few times we've all been in the same city at the same damn time.
No, I like his version. Tell him out.
Oh, no. Look, I've got requests left for a very long time.
I'm a considerate person.
He has,
anybody that gets in my car.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
I'm
come
the last
on.
One that goes home. I it's drop true. People off. So
wait, am I tripping her? Has Estelle sang You Got Me at some point on a stage?
Dude, Estelle has damn near been a root.
Pretty much. That was the
I
work.
Go back to like 18th letter.
Wow.
Pre-18th letter Estelle. When Estelle was MC.
Here.
Yes, in London.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Like, so I remember the first time we met, period, was in London. I think I opened up.
Mm-hmm.
You guys used to be there a lot. And I think I
we live there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I opened up for you a few times at different events and venues when I used to just rap and sing on hooks.
I need you to explain something to me.
Yeah.
Because as much as London's our second home. There's one thing that no one's ever properly explained to me.
Go ahead.
Okay. So there's so, and hopefully you can, give some clarity to me and our listeners out there. There's so many subgenres of music that comes from urban London underground.
Yeah.
I mean, there's grime, two-step, drum and bass, EDM, trip-hop, acid jazz, everything.
All the things.
Can you properly give us an education or what is it?
Wow. No small task here.
No. Well, on the different subgenres?
Well,
how it goes. All right, so...
I don't know the difference. The is two-step under the house umbrella, whereas what's grime?
Grime is a subgenre, a subdivision of what hip-hop and what the kids who weren't specifically rappers and who were into jungle kind of made.
Okay.
Who weren't into UK hip-hop, but who were also into dance music and jungle. Mm-hmm. Made grime and garage. It kind of came out of the garage umbrella. So UK hip hop was the founding thing, right? And that came out of dancehall and all of that stuff, right? So Rodney P and them guys. Mm-hmm. It had a really big presence. And then, but at the same time, it was dance music, which has always been our thing. We listen to all different types of music all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got you got us going to school and being at home listening to like reggae, dancehall, hip hop, right? As we know, like standard genres. Mm-hmm. And you got go to school and you listen to like dance and house and trippy music, right? And it's like acid and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we essentially just merged them all together because that's what black people do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so we came up with Garage, which was like MCing over faster beats, which were kind of in the house range, right?
Okay.
And that Garage became that. And then grime became slow it down, rap a bit more, be a bit more swaggy with it. Like you can wear Echo and whatnot, and or you can wear like all the things that feel like you rapping,
right,
but you're still keeping it English because that was our thing we made up. And that's See, where it becomes like a whole, like we made this genre though.
Okay, so the...
And the lines get blurred as far as
right
how you do it, but...
All right, so when we first went there in 93...
Yeah, it didn't exist.
Right. Okay. So drum and bass was just starting. All right. So to explain to our listeners out there, drum and bass is where you would take, whereas like hip hoppers would take a break beat and take it as is. I mean, someone would chop it up and flip it or whatever. But for the most part, like what you hear on the record is what you would hear sampled. Drum and bass, they would speed it up almost past 45 to like 78.
Yep.
Which, okay, so my theory is that kind of the hip hop experience in America mirrors whatever the vice of choice or drug of choice is of a generation.
Same.
So, you know, if we, so my 5-year theory is, and I'll try to make this quick as possible, like 67, 72 is our, what you would say, the heroin period.
Yeah, on
72 to 77. I'm sorry. Excuse me. 67 to 72, I would say, is the joint period.
Right.
72 to 77 was the heroin period.
Right.
77 to 82, cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
82 to 87... The forty ounce
Ooh.
Malt liquor.
Oh wow!
87 to 92 crack.
Oh, okay.
And as I'm saying this,
anyone else getting hungry?
It's it speeds up. 92 to 97 was the chronic period. The weed, everything slowed down.
Yeah.
97 to 2002 was the sexy. What was it? Ecstasy. The sexy Diddy.
Damn, you got this.
Yeah,
because
you're thinking about music. You're thinking about the reaction.
That was the period. 02 to 07 is the scissor period, the codeine period.
Yeah.
7 to 12, 2007 to 12. Would we say that's the Molly period?
Yeah, that's after. No, Molly came after 2007. It's kind of early.
Well, then I would say maybe Lean. I don't know.
Tide Pods.
It's funny, but it's not. It's
all
not.
Of the drugs? All of the drugs.
Some kids are doing that.
Shout out to those Super Bowl commercials on those damn Tide commercials. 2012 to 2017, definitely Percocet period.
Yeah.
And now, I guess we're currently in between 2017 to 2022, which,
I don't know.
What is the drug of the moment right now?
Too young.
Life.
Well, weed.
Lean, life.
Weed never go out of style.
Crystals.
I'm getting high on life.
Oreo Thins are really good.
Yo, wild.
Okay, so my whole point is that the drug that somehow permeates in each era also determines like
pills.
What the music sounds like.
Sorry, pills.
Yeah, pills.
Yeah.
Okay.
So... Oh wait, no! In northeast Philly, everyone's dying from it.
The weed, the XK952, whatever.
It's
K2? You know, K. Yeah.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, it's. I don't know why the northeast Philly has it the worst.
It's nothing there. That's why it's nothing to do.
Well. Sorry. Buy property there.
Yo.
Anyway, my point is that.
Wild.
I felt like, but the thing is that I don't believe
it's the people.
Did you guys not? People. Did London? I don't recall London ever having like a crack epidemic. Or
that's a good question.
It's like a consistent thing. It's not that it was an epidemic more than it's just like it's so. I don't know. It's our culture is so like you could be the highest of the high. Keep calm and carry on.
You really?
Know? Yeah, that's the culture. It's never really been like the drug thing, for me, the way I looked at it, was like, it's associated with like homelessness and you're not doing too well. But now it's at a point where you're walk, or it's like a D-boy, the higher ups buy it from the, you know what I mean? From the guys on Roadman, not D-boys, Roadman, right? So it was never like, oh, your friend next door to you is doing drugs and you can see it. It was never like that, like obvious. Mm-hmm. Everyone smokes, right?
Right.
I didn't smoke until I was 30. I'm quite proud of myself.
I just started.
It's so fun.
I don't smoke, but
so fun. Now,
I like edibles.
There, it's a good time.
Wait, why are you straight snitching like you? Let me say that.
Oh, because you said it before. I don't feel snitching if you said it before on the show.
Oh, okay. I might have forgot. That might be a symptom.
Welcome.
Yeah, you might want to cut back on those edibles a bit. You forgot.
Hi, Mom. Good.
So it was a bit more of a like, supply demand thing, and no one really was in it like that. Now it's kind of across the board, like where you knew, like everybody had like the drug dealer friends,
right?
But like they were also your friends, so like what?
Because we're all watching that show now too on Netflix. So like, yeah.
Oh god!
Shout out to Drake
in the best way possible. I said that we got in the best way.
That's how much money I want. Where like I see a YouTube show. Well, I see a YouTube show and be like, you know what? I'm going to give y'all a whole bunch of money to put this on Netflix.
I want
to
see this.
That's power, Drake. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate
Sometimes
that.
Sometimes they still need subtitles.
Have you ever watched it?
I have. Estelle, I'm saying that because I'm comfortable with you. I'm saying that because I'm comfortable with you.
Dude, every show needs subtitles, even with Queen Sugar.
You might.
Yo, Ava got so mad at me.
Yo, I'm doing that with you.
Wait.
Mike.
We were all watching the last episode, like a cliffhanger episode of Queen Sugar, and I showed my television, and I forgot I had the subtitles on, and they even hit me on Twitter, like, wait, why are your subtitles on? And I was like, yo, have you heard Ralph Angel speak?
Oh, don't you dare talk about that king like that. Mm-hmm. Oh. Not Ralph Angel.
And that's Ralph Angel angry.
Good morning, Kofi.
Oh, baby. That's fine.
I want my son.
No, you're just jealous. Stop it.
King Kofi can speak how he wants.
Well, you better tell her as well.
To our listeners, now you know who's not going to be on the show.
No, Kobe coming. I mean, he's coming to the show.
He is? Okay.
Yeah. You know what I'm
saying? He's lovely.
You single? It's okay.
Damn,
no,
all the
that's
teeth.
Lil Bro. I can't even. No.
Oh, that's Lil Bro? Okay.
I know his mom. Okay.
That means something.
Homie. It does.
Guys
to
think
me.
Different. Wait, see, that's the difference between women and women.
Smoothly is. He's a whole 20 years younger than me. Nope.
Wait, really?
Yeah, he's youngin'. He's a youngin' though.
Yo, y'all rules, man.
I know.
Wait, we ain't never gonna get to your musical experiences because we just gonna talk about life for the next. Right. It's 20 minutes into it. Wait a minute. What do you
British question?
What do you mean?
It's Lil Bro. Like, I can't.
You guys realize that there's gonna be a Lioness Cub period in your life, right?
I'm clear. I'm in that space now.
But not yet, though.
Quite literally. Yo,
her next album is gonna have a cover of Millie Jackson's "Young Man, Older Woman" on
you
it.
You know what? No, it is not. Don't say
young
that.
Yo, y'all, but we're not there yet because you know, younger men for us still move like rabbits.
They
right?
do.
Like we're not at that age where you want to date younger yet because they still. You know what I'm
like, what are you doing?
Slow down.
I'm not teaching you stuff. Oh my god!
Right? Thank you.
Get off me! Stop! Ew.
Yes.
It's a fight every day, all my life.
You two need your own podcast.
All my life.
You need your own podcast.
Hey, you don't want you don't want me to deal with the iHeart.
Hey, now.
Right, exactly. Look, I wanted to get to my whole point.
We'll come back here.
In the whole 17 minutes, my whole entire point was when I was there, a lot of cats were just trying to be from New York.
Yeah, and now
AKA the 21 Savage Syndrome.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There was an interview where like
I thought he was from
and then he said spot of tea.
Wow, he really has an accent.
And we're like, wait a minute, what?
English.
Yes, and
that's weird. I didn't know he was from there.
What?
I didn't.
What? But like, you catch somebody young enough, like they're gonna their whole accent, everything completely changes.
Right, but like, the thing is that I know that you guys have been waiting for this moment all of your life. I mean, really, you're pioneering
all
that.
All my life, yeah.
I mean, you're pioneering that. The fact that not since maybe the Soul to Soul wave, like with Soul to Soul having international acclaim, I've seen, you know, like other countries lead the forefront of their movement and be accepted. Not like, oh, what's America doing? Let's do like
let's
America.
Do that, yeah.
Now you guys are writing the rules, but it's like, with Mark Morrison, he's a great example. What is, what is he truly considered? Is he just meat and potatoes R&B, or is
he's Mark Morrison? It's R&B, then it's, to us, it's pop. And that's the reason why it's such a heavy thing. And I said this the other day. I was with my friends in DC, and I said, the thing is, you guys have had such a strong culture for your entire, like, as far back as the 20s. Like, it's been Black American culture. Despite what you think of it, you guys have had it, and we haven't. Since the 50s.
Mm-hmm. At home. It's a lot from the British.
Yeah, so like we're like looking at it like, well, that seems to be the strongest thing to do. Let's do that. You know?
Can I ask, it's weird, right? Because then when you go to Blacksonian, right, you find out that, like, the Brits were the biggest committers of the whole slavery thing. We are in Black History Month, right? So I asked a British actress once. I was like, it seems like there's a disconnect between the cultures of your your motherland. Well, in a way, too.
We came over, for me, I know exactly where my family's from. My parents came, like, in Senegal, Grenada, Sierra Leone. Like, they came in the 50s. They came in the 50s and 60s to the UK. So for a lot of us, that's where we start again in the European side of the world. But we do know, and, like, my family's big on Black history. So my dad and my stepdad and my mom, they taught us that from like, 2 and 1. Like, here's who you are. Go read these 3 big anthologies on sex and race. I remember my mom gave me this book set, and I read it. I was a bookworm. I'm still am. And I read it as a kid, and I knew about, you know, the Black queens, and I knew about how we existed before coming over again in the 50s. So, like, my perception of myself across the board is different in general. But, like, that's where a lot of us came from first. And it's a big thing. Like, we are taught that, like, in our homes. Not just because they're not going to teach us at school. They taught us the same things you guys know.
Right.
So, like, our energy and perception of, like, where we start is different. But the culture here is so long range and so dominant. You guys really have it. Like, please don't no one take this personally. I used to be like, yo, how do you guys have, like, and the more I got to learn about it, Black Wall Street and yada yada, and then, like, and at the time I was like, and Soulja Boy exists.
You said don't get offended. Like, we're still asking that question. Like, but sit now, Soulja's, I mean, like Malcolm X compared to.
I understand the context of it, but, like, at the time I was like, what the.
How do we, and the significance of places
like that burning down, and why people felt the need to get rid of it so that you could have.
In the grand scheme of life, everything is everything. I don't judge it. But, like, it's like you guys have it, and I've had it for so long. There's so much wealth in it, and there's so much good, despite every attempt to burn down Black culture over the past 2 centuries in the U.S., in around the world.
How old were you when you discovered your voice or your singing voice?
When I was, like, 17.
So from the age of 0 to 17.
No, okay, my first
you just
time
spoke?
No. No, like, I realized I was good at it.
Okay.
I was 7 and I realized that I could actually do it. My mom made me sing with my brother in church, and everyone clapped, and I was like, "Oh, this is fun."
What's the Black experience in church in the UK compared to?
It's just as wild. Again, everything is patterned, right?
Right.
So it's just as wild. We did Holy Ghost Spirit. Well, for me, I went to Kojic, I went Church of God of Prophecy, which is, like, essentially Kojic. I was Methodist. I was Muslim. My grandma, before I was born.
Everything?
So here's the thing. West Africa culture.
Yes.
My grandma married a Muslim man. She was Christian. So for a while, she had to learn Muslim, and then she realized that was a very oppressive, the version he followed.
For women.
Yeah. And we're very women heavy in our family. So we've had to dabble, per se, just to respect it.
Right.
But I remember one time I came from, so here we go.
All right.
So when I was a child, did all the religions, and right before we went to real Christianity, I went to Africa, and we went to my granddad's village. And I remember my grandma made us walk. And we get to the village, and it's great, but it's very Muslim. And it's like Gambia. My grandma brings this guy back with us who's like the village chief or village dude, guy, medicine guy, spiritual guy. And he's teaching us Arabic, and they're trying to, like, give us these base lessons in my granddad's culture. And my mom, and I remember, because I'm the big mouth in my family, low key.
Low key.
Snitch.
Nah, I'm the big mouth. Like, I'm the one that's like, nah, that's not right. I'm not doing that.
Oh, you challenge people, okay.
All day.
Are you the oldest?
Second oldest girl. So, yeah, pretty much.
How many?
9 in my immediate.
Yikes!
Yeah. 1 older brother, 6 girls.
Second oldest?
Second oldest, yeah.
So you're okay. You're Jackie. Okay.
Okay.
I compare everybody to Jacksons. Okay. Good.
Okay. Well, I'm Jackie. I ain't gonna like the hair. Yeah,
you still look good. That's good. That's okay. Good. You look the best.
I'm not Jackie. Mm-hmm. Oh no, nah, he's the Bajan puppet. Like,
oh, he's a
die. Okay.
No, that's Jermaine. No, that's Jermaine.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
No, you Jackie. You he's still right. Got his natural hair.
Okay.
He's still a little, got some kinky.
You are correct. I was mixing them up. It was terrible. That's so bad. It's terrible. All right. Okay, I just got a whole image. So, wait, no, my edges are real. no disrespect. All right.
Oh, man.
So he came back and he was teaching us like Arabic. And then it came to a part where it was like, women must be submissive. And I just kept feeling like that was wrong. And I had said to him, well, I don't agree. I was like 12 or 13 or some shit like that.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't agree. Why do women have to not speak? And I went down the line. And my mom was like, what are you teaching my daughter in this lesson of classes? No, huh? No, not them. And she pulled us out the Arabic classes. And that caused a rift in the family to a degree. And then we became real Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I kind of was like, you know, like, because we were like half and half. We would go to my grandma's the matriarch. And that would happen at my auntie and my grandma's house. And then we would go up our house and it would be like Christian. And then we went full Christian with that after that. And then that was just a wild time. It was like, don't wear no makeup. Don't do no things. And
oh,
I was
like, Puritan style.
Oh, like you, we're gonna find the husband for you. And my mom was like, also no. So here's what's gonna happen with me and my children. It was wild.
Ooh, oppressive Christian. Okay.
Oppressive, but also Holy Ghost sin. It was a lot. There's a lot going down. And then I think it's always been music that kind of shifted my trajectory though, because we were in a church choir.
Right.
And I remember being 19, and We used to remix all the words to the song. So like Brandy's best friend became Jesus is my best friend, and like things like that. And like we did the dances and stuff. And I remember one like church, we had a church Christmas concert, and we were doing the whole like, can I do without
you? Oh my God.
Big into the he's always been there right beside me. So I call him my best friend. And the church, like the pastor got mad. Like yo.
Well, wait, what was he doing listening to Brandy to know that reference?
Well, we was. Exactly. Make it. No, but she was more mad that like, she was more tight that we were dancing and it was having a good time. And she ain't like my mom for some reason. And so she essentially kicked us out of the church concert. It's wild. I was so upset.
This has been going on since the history of time. No, I just saw a church version that they performed Future's Percocet.
No. See? I don't know how that works.
But it was like the Christian version.
What's the words?
I don't know, but.
Holy Ghost?
Chase the Christ.
Frankincense. Myrrh.
Frankincense and myrrh.
Wait a second.
I saw it on Freddie Gibbs' Instagram, so go ahead.
I'm going to see that. A minute.
So this has been going on.
So they kicked us out, and my mom was like to me after that, you don't have to go back if you don't want. I said, good, because I'm not. And essentially, I've never really been a fan of going back in the building and doing people's versions of events. I'm very spiritual, and, you know, I read the Bible, and I pray a lot, and, you know, crystals, and I listen, and I'm in tune, and blah, blah, blah.
Spiritual.
Yeah, I'm about to say that.
Yeah. Oh, you're spiritual.
Yeah.
So,
one of those.
So, did you? Well, I'm assuming I have the same thing that it was hard bringing secular music inside the house.
Oh, my God.
Really?
My whole life.
Prince punishments.
What? No. Down. 100%.
Snoop Doggy Dogg punishments.
All day, Prince. All of
SWV
it.
SWV punishments.
All of it. Like, go in your headroom and listen to your headphones.
Yeah. No. Under the pillow.
Under the pillow. I had Jodeci, and I had like this little, like, Jodeci was my thing in my teens, and I had this little black boombox. And like, my bedroom's right next to my mom's, and my bed was right next to the wall, and I would play it, but I would put it under my pillow to muffle the sound.
Right.
But that's how I learned how to do harmonies for real, like really meld them and stuff. Listen
Parents,
to Josie.
All right, yeah. Look, I'm hopefully. If,
let them go.
If you're conservative parents and you're listening to me, I'm shocked. But just let your kids listen. They're going to listen anyway. Yeah. Just let them.
Just, you know.
Especially if they got their own phones now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going down.
It's a wrap. So just let him listen. Yeah. So, okay, so you're saying that by 17, yeah, it was fine. Well, wait, because again, when I first met you, I mm-hmm. met you as an MC. Yeah. I didn't know you sang.
No.
So.
You're like, what? How?
Yeah.
How did that go?
I was kind of like, wait, Reek? Yeah. This is the same rap stuff?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, how did hip hop affect you?
My uncle was the one that brought it in our house. And it was like.
How old was he?
He was, my uncle was a young uncle. He's just turned like 50.
Okay.
And
oh, thank you.
He just turned 50. Like, he's like, you know, but like, he was a young uncle. He was like, definitely like out in these streets doing his thing.
Right.
Lightweight studs. It's wild. It's crazy.
Okay.
Had family.
So what kind of hip hop was he playing
Big
for?
Big Daddy Kane, all of that era. Queen Latifah.
We would call that classic
hip-hop era. Yeah. So that was his whole thing. The one thing I remember he brought that like was like my switch onto it was breakdancing. And we used to really breakdance as kids, like, because it was the thing. It's the 80s, right? And my mom was like, don't breakdance no more. The dude, was it Turbo and Ozone? We used to like that from mm-hmm. Break It. She liked to be, yo, he broke his neck spinning on his head. Don't breakdance no
that.
More. And I was
I
like,
that
I don't want to die. And so, like, I stopped. And I realized he didn't. But, like, you know, she lied to me. Good time.
They must have told that to every black parent at that time.
Man,
yeah, I heard that one too.
We didn't have insurance back then.
So, but that was my switch into hip hop, and like, and then I just liked it. It was like, then it became culture, right? It was a popular thing, but then it became like, as I got older, it was like, yo, I have a way with putting the words together. It's not about poetry for me. It's about the rhythm and the rhyming of it, right? And then all my friends were like into it, and then like. Mid to late 90s, I really was doing it. Like, I'd be the only girl in the room. We'd be writing songs, and I would actually end up like finishing off rhymes or writing my own. And you know, and then friends were like, "Well, just put the verse down. Just put the verse down." And I was like, "No, I would put the verse down." And I put the verse down, and it became like, "Well, actually, I could really do it."
Oh, okay.
And so I did it.
Well, when you're in the thick of it, you know, is there truly anybody to look up to? Well, first of all, as far as how you get it.
Mm.
Now, I mean, because you're in the mid to late 90s,
yeah.
I'm assuming that there's a lot of Tim Westwood.
Yeah,
a lot 279. Of 279. Yeah. I miss 279,
me
man.
Me too.
All those guys. Yeah. Wait a minute. You got to explain something to me.
What
was the deal with the So Solid crew?
So they were right. They were good, though.
They were like the original. They all right, so they were the original Wu-Tang.
Well, hold on.
It's like 90 of them.
Yeah, pretty much. They still.
The only time, I mean, as an American, there's a certain amount of arrogance that Americans have, and I guess like being over there, like in our mind, it was like no one could ever threaten you with an accent that nice.
But then, like, then came Mega, hey,
what you,
and all the guys. And
what
you
like, looking
oh,
at? Yeah, what? You know, like we just like, come on, like, you know, a little accent. That's cute.
But So Solid were real G's though. They weren't. It wasn't some like
yeah,
made
I,
up.
Dog.
They weren't a game. They
so,
still are. Like,
okay. Can you settle? Not a rumor, but okay. So we know at least for that time in the late 90s, there were absolutely no firearms. We were told there were no firearms in the UK.
I thought they still aren't. I thought the UK is like the most, the least firearms.
Oh, we're so naive.
Nice. That's so nice.
Wait, I thought,
really?
Oh, what happened? Because we was like modeling our gun control because y'all
what?
Gun
well,
control.
Well, the day
I thought
the
y'all police, be stabbing people.
The like. Police don't necessarily have guns.
Oh.
Let's stay there.
Wow. Okay.
There's always been guns.
I never knew
always.
That.
There's always been.
Okay, so we heard a rumor that. Our beloved Westwood
yes.
got shot in the ass.
What?
By a member of that crew.
I can neither confirm nor deny who did
no one will what? Ever tell the story of why
but he did
or if that happened.
It's like, you have to understand.
That was the realest hip-hop shit I ever heard coming out of London.
That was real.
And he was kind of, and I almost felt like it was a badge of honor for him.
Yep.
Like, I got shot, so.
In the booty.
I'm still here.
You gotta understand.
But Tim, why did he get shot?
Tim Westwood is the figure from BBC that really brought a lot of classic hip hop. He was the Funk Master Flex
sure
of the UK. He's the voice that you hear on top of Public Enemy's classic "It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back,"
which is wild.
Yeah. Yes. Fresh Start of the Week was the name of his his show. So
He also is a white man, just in case people
Yes, he's a yes.
Yeah. But I mean,
his fingers.
But I mean, he was a pioneer of sorts of bringing those shows over. And I guess, like, you know, with how pirate radio was in the UK, a lot of offspring. So, like, cats like when I did 279, that was a pirate radio show.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a real operation, like the room we're in right now. Yes. Was it like at that point?
It wasn't
was the
just
government tired of shutting them down, and they're just like, here,
keep going. And then it became Choice, and then like, and Choice of Family moved on to Choice of Family. It was like,
so 279's legit now.
279's been legit. I feel like he's a Kiss or something. He was a Kiss for a
while. Oh, man,
like,
he sold out and got a real radio station.
Everybody did.
Everybody did.
America, Britain.
Listen, it's no games. But people need put checks. It in this context.
279?
I'm trying to put So Solid and the vibe of what it is. So if you got hip-hop, which was 279 and Westwood, then it became this shift when all the music became mixed up, right? And then, because they couldn't quite get hold on hip hop, it was like, that's not the new thing coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You had all these labels investing in the new thing, which is garage, right? Which is this huge scene that was blowing up. That wasn't hip hop, that wasn't UK hip hop, that wasn't like, F the establishment, F the labels.
Mm-hmm.
And So Solid was that, but So Solid was real, were real dudes. Like, they were like, out there. Some of them were really out there. There's a couple of them still in jail, right?
Still
in jail. So like, you know, like it was a very, oh, you guys think this is for fun, but like you're investing in real humans and real life scenarios. So also that.
But I don't want to paint them as them all unruly thugs, because David also came from.
Craig came from that scene, but he wasn't in So Solid, no parts. He was before So Solid, but like they were all kind of after the 279 and like Rodney P. And like I was even in that scene than I was in the garage side of stuff. Like I was really like rapping. Like I was in the cyphers. I was like, doing Deal Real.
So all those names at the time that I saw, like Miss Dynamite or Dizzy Rascal,
so they bang
or even the Streets.
They came at the end of like the hit UK hip hop side of stuff. And they really ushered in that whole new garage side. That's what it was. That's what, and they came all right before So Solid. And then So Solid came in like Wu-Tang. It was patterned on hip hop, but it was just a different kind of sound.
So did you ever think in your life that there would be a breakthrough? Because again, like with
it was like
the culture that they had, even I was like, when Drum and Bass first came out, I was like, yo, this is going to kill.
Yeah.
That's why we did it on You Got Me.
We're
like, all right, we're going to beat everybody. And even like Andre.
Classic.
Well, we tried.
It's classic.
And even with
he said we tried. What?
Well, then when Bombs Over Baghdad came out, when, you know, that was Andre's version of, they went to a club one night, heard drum and bass. Like,
I'm like,
oh, shit. Let's do that. But
you,
I never thought. Well,
Say it.
Apples, oranges.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm here. I hear You Got Me, and everybody knows what that is.
Yeah.
People hear Bums and people know it, but they don't like rock it.
The
like
difference,
you got
the difference
me.
Between
different.
You Got Me and Bombs Over Baghdad. It's like Two Pages Era for a Hero versus.
Zero for Hero. Wow.
Versus like something from Metalheads. You know, it's like,
okay.
It's completely different. It's the same genre, but completely different sides of the. Yeah.
Plus, you just teased us anyway. I've been waiting for the continuation of that for fucking ever.
What?
That you just teased us with the end of You Got Me. It was like, what, 30
dude,
seconds?
Do you know the
20 seconds?
Do you know the fight I had to do for it?
I'm just saying, we are still waiting for the real.
But when you do things like that, though, especially because, like, it's such a jungle for us was our thing, like, I'm going to that after school. I'm like, I'm playing that all throughout school. I'm out here like, wicked, jungle is, I'm out here losing my mind as a kid. Like, that's our thing. Wherever we go in the world, that's our thing. So when we heard like, oh, shit, it's on the Roots, did it? Like, we lost our mortal minds. Aww. Like, aww. It was just like, because people will come take the music and not give it props.
Probably
but
credit.
You guys were there and... True. Like, you got people that people loved. Like, I'm opening up for you. Like, it was like, nah, they embrace us. It's not on some, we came here to get the vibes and go back. Like, you guys spent time with us and our culture. So
yeah,
it
man.
Was like, respect. We liked it. We fucked with it.
I miss it. So, like, why do you, well, obviously the answer is that the internet has now localized. Okay, well, I'm saying, do you feel as though the internet has colonized in a bad way?
Wow, yes, colonized.
Well, and do you feel like the internet has colonized UK culture? Because, I mean, the good news of it is now you are all breakout stars. Yeah. And the world can get the information at the same time. Whereas, like, there's no breakout. There's no. But I also feel bad for, like, okay, take Miss Dynamite.
Yeah.
Remember, there was so much hope for her to be like, oh, my God, this is going to be the next Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it never happened.
There were other things behind the scenes that with that, though. Like, it's real life, and it's a culture thing, and you have to make a choice. And I don't know her personally in that space to say, well, she chose blah, 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 or she did this. But, you know, people give up on what they don't when you don't fit into a mold or you don't fit into what they think, you know? So there was stuff with it.
You mean audience or the artist?
The audience and the labels, you know, like she wasn't probably going to do a certain amount of things, you know, and she had a kid bang in the middle. And at that point, that wasn't the excuse. But I'm saying, like, because, look, I walk into a room after her,
right
after her to get signed, and I cannot front. Someone literally said to me, well, we just working with, and she and looked at me like, I can't take that risk. And I was just like,
really?
I don't even have a boyfriend.
About to say, get pregnant? That's
no, dead ass. Was hurt about that. And I was just like,
well, you got the last word.
Wild. How about that?
It's safe to say everybody in this room has heard Amy Winehouse's debut album, Frank.
Yeah. Yes.
I was working at Universal when that album was out here in the United States, and it was supposed to come out here. And they took it off the schedule because they didn't know what to do with it.
Crazy.
I'm like, this
put
is,
the music up.
Yeah, it didn't really feel like it was a hard sell. You just listen to the record.
Sounds like me pitching Roots records and friendly on the radio.
I mean,
I'm like, yeah, just anything different.
Play the record.
In that time.
But the thing is, like, anybody I play that record for, like, they're like, oh, what is that? Who is that? What is that?
Most people don't know about Frank.
Really?
Most people think, like, back to back
was it.
Yeah.
For good contention, people thought that was, like, her debut.
Yeah.
So when you're making, what were the steps that led to the 18th day?
My first album, I took the example. I've been an underground artist for my whole life. I've been like an independent, not an underground artist for my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I was the girl that was like, I'm gonna go make these records. I'm gonna go find a distribution deal. And I read this book.
By yourself?
Yep.
No manager? No.
I know. At the time, I've had managers.
Right.
But I'd direct them.
Okay.
I'm very much the king of my castle.
Okay.
Control
your fate.
Yeah,
I'm with that.
I direct and I listen and I pay attention and I work with people who are incredible. But I'm very much an instinct gut person. So I was like, man, look, these people out here, every time we go to a label, they keep talking about we don't know what to do. So let's show them. And I was like, well, let's go get these distribution deals. Mm-hmm. And so I had one. I went to a bunch of labels. They were like, we don't know. I said, cool, I'm going to show you what to do. Got my distribution deal. We sold 5,000 hand to hand and it was so like, digitally and like not digitally but like on the internet at the time, right? We were selling like one or two CDs a week, which was great at the time, in and around Europe and the UK, but also 5,000 within a month after going to the labels and them saying we don't know what to do. Had a really dope publicist and she put me on every magazine you could find, a couple covers where they were struggling to get their artists, and I had no deal. It was just me and my label Stella Ents.
What happened?
Wait a minute. I'm like, so that whole time we were touring together,
I was just
too short out the trunk.
Out the truck request.
Oh man, real. I got duped.
Real. And then the next set of times, I definitely was like on V2, and the same person that was like, I don't get it, was like, I guess I should sign you. I was like, just. So we did the deal, and even throughout that whole period, he was looking at me like, so that record free, you wrote it? I had to get the producer on the phone. The disrespect was so thick and so real about young black artists. You couldn't have possibly written a record that thorough off your own head and off your own heart because you're a little black girl from the hood. How, like, you guys don't do that. It was that kind of, I called the producer and I said, so did you write any of the words or melody? He said, no, I just play guitar. I said, and I put a phone down, and this guy was so angry and mortified and like would just go out of his way to stop everything with the second album. And that's when I,
but wait, how did you get...
Even get to the 18th day?
No, but how did you even get James and Omar and you got John Legend on the first record?
Yeah, I'm ballsy.
You just...
I was recording.
You just walk up to the motherfuckers
yes,
like, yo, what's up, son?
Hi. Hello. The Kanye story's real. Like, I really did. I was in LA recording, and
I love that story because I mean, now Kanye being who he is, you know, you would think
that was
a
Kanye move.
It's a different Kanye.
it was a different Kanye then. But you would think, you know, now knowing who Kanye is, you would go up and ask for, you know, Kanye's information. Yeah. But you went up and asked for John Legend.
Yeah, because his voice is incredible.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I get my instinct again, right? And I was like, nah, this guy's voice. I think my boyfriend at the time was like, if you don't just go find this guy, because you just out here smiling. I mean, it's cute and all, but like, also, like, I was like, nah, I have to find him. And then it was just fate and.
Did you know about his education at the time? And like,
because
I have a feeling that has a lot to do with his success. So that's why I was like.
John's a smart guy.
Yeah.
But also, he's the same thing. He's instinct, though, yeah, I think, to a degree, you know? And we met each other and I was like, yo, it's fine and all. This is lovely. We're in Record Plant in LA. And I'm like, yo, I've got like $2 to my name to get back to the hotel. Can we wrap this up type deal? Like, I have to leave in a couple of hours. And he was like, he was there and we connected up and I left. And he was like, yo, I just like your drive and the fact that you didn't come in here giving a crap about a yay or whoever was in the studio. I was like, no, I came to find you to do this record that I have pre-recorded the vocals and the lyrics to. Can you sing this part, please? And he was like, let me hear it. And I was like, I gave it to him, played it. I was like, listen to it in your own time. All right. I had a hard drive and everything. I remember it cost so much money. I gave him the hard drive. I was so tight, the whole hard drive.
Terabyte.
Did you ever get it back?
I don't know. And then, like, I left and he called me. He was like, yeah, it's good, it's good.
Dude, I've known you forever. I've never knew the Thelma and Louise ending car jump that it took. Damn, dude. Yeah. How come I never knew that story?
Sometimes we don't have time to stop and talk, for real.
I'm going to write a book about all these moments, but like.
Wow.
This has been my whole, I don't wait for the opening. I'll just push through the door. You know, if I feel the instinct and it's like, go, you know?
So even then, I mean, I'm almost certain it was just to get to above water level was a goal. Not even to like.
It wasn't even about.
Hey, I'm going to really kill this game and da-da-da-da-da. So, I mean, by the time you get to the second record, are you thinking?
By the time we got to Shine, I was grateful for John in a way that like people, you know, I'm this person, I'm very loyal. I don't care what. John stuck his neck out for me without thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody.
That is rare.
Man. And everybody on his team at the time was like, what is this? Like, it was smoothly, like, they dissed me to my face. Like, I mean, you don't know Aretha like that. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, I know Aretha. I'm just not an Aretha singer.
Right.
Like, and it was like a lot of different shots at me because I was supposed to be this kind of black girl.
Right.
And I come in rapping and singing and I have a smoother voice and I'm confident and you're not going to tell me nothing. I came here with Louboutins and I came here with my fashion and my vibes. You feel me?
Can you
animate the fingernails?
We're doing the Tiffany Haddish right now with our hands.
Yeah,
but
what
you
one,
not about to do?
No one can hear.
No, but like, but at the
no
same
one can
time,
see it, right.
I was very much like, I'm not going to give you all those facts, but like also I'm not going to take it to heart. I'm just going to do what I came here to do. And a lot of people shot at him like, why you signed her? Like, this doesn't make no sense. This is a terrible investment, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, I've seen her work. I've seen her go. Trust me. I'm just here for the ride. He literally would say it to me like, look, if we don't need to work together in 10 years, please live your best life. And essentially we did. But, you know, but he stuck his neck out for me in a way that is unprecedented. And I'm forever grateful because I went to the label that were like, nah, and then were like, I guess I should sign you. And I said to them after like the first two meetings of like, you don't really do this. It's a lie. Go find your ghostwriter. Oh. I said to them, so look, next album I have John Legend. He wants to exec produce it. He won about 500 Grammys. This guy's touring out the world. His album's gold at this point in the UK, Europe, and the whole world. And they say to me, who's that? And I wanted to punch the wall. I said, let me go. And they were like, what? I was like, no, let me go. Please let me go. And then he was like, I said to him, so the second album I'd asked you to exec produce, I'm going to leave the label. And he was like, I'll sign you. Wow. I said, you sure? He's like, yeah. I said, all right, come on, let's go.
It never happens like that.
Never.
Except in Estelle's case.
And consistently.
Were you the only release from that? Like, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, homeschool. He set the label up to put me out.
Just for John.
I felt very
homeschool records.
Damn, John.
Records, yeah. So wow. John is a G for that. People don't know that part. So everyone thinks it's the A, but it's John.
Wow.
Yeah, he did a lot as far as having my back and just supporting me and not really taking the credit as far as like, you know, where people like, he wrote this and he wrote that for. He's like, he's not the one out there shouting it. People make up their assumptions, you know? Mm-hmm. He knows my capabilities and stuff.
Have y'all reconnected? So now that y'all live in the same town?
I see him around, like, we're cool. And I'm good friends with the team. We still good. Like, that's family. It's the cousin.
Well, yeah, true to how music history works. I believe I've heard the story before. The legend of American Boy was it the last song made? And it was just like an afterthought.
It was Will didn't believe that the record was a hit, like the music was a hit.
Yeah, because it came. It was off.
It came from his joint.
Yeah,
right.
He said, I don't think that's the. I said, trust me. This is what we listen to at home. This is it. This is it. And I was literally on a beach in Miami. And
what
that's
song?
The vibe.
It was on not his songs BBE about records.
It was BBE records. It was.
It was BBE.
It was the Interscope one. The songs about girls. The one that nobody bought.
No, it was on BBE. He put it on BBE in the UK. Yeah.
In
the UK. I used to love some BBE.
It came out on Interscope here. Yeah. The songs about girls, yeah.
Yeah, the one that nobody listened to.
Yeah. At least nobody here really did. Yeah. They had a couple joints on it.
But BBE was
a And you
stuff
said,
out
I want to rhyme over that beat?
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to sing
over that. And we wrote it like 3 minutes. I vocaled it the next day, an hour. And then, every time we played it to people, their energy would just shoot up. Like, it was like palpable. Sitting in the room, played a record. Everyone was like, "Oh, vibes."
Yeah, I was gonna say that probably "American Boy" is probably one of the few songs in this millennium. Now that we at least have 2 decades under our belt, not to age us all.
Ugh, too late.
No, especially the way that information happens, and like one song just instantly replaces another song without. Yeah. You know, I mean, you remember how many times you've heard Crazy by Gnarls Barkley when it first came out? Yeah, and sort of like, you might hear it now, but it's almost like, I feel like maybe American Boy next to Crazy in Love, like that's one of the songs that won't ever die. Like, it's still on my DJ set right now.
Oh, somebody just made a remix on it. I just saw that. I was like, they ain't still making remixes
Yeah, it's been about 3 in the past 2 years. I'm not mad.
I heard Tam's joining. Yeah, I was about to say like that.
They trap it out. They put it on TikTok. It's good. Live your best life. That's what we want.
I'm afraid to go there.
I'm so scared. It's fun. It's a rabbit hole. It's the Russian foolishness. It's amazing.
But what about the Russians?
I gotta go there to know what song to play. Oh, the Russians.
No, not to know what song to play.
Russians.
I've taken my life back. No more social media for me.
Jealous of Bill.
So, was it ever a point where it was like tiring? Like again. Like, are you, somewhere between Nirvana and Smells Like Teen Spirit where they refuse to do it now, and De La Soul where...
Yeah, me, myself, and I.
Where they just sing, we hate the song all over the thing.
Oh,
like, is it that, or you're just like, nope, I know where my bread is buttered, and I'm fine.
I had to reset. I had records in the UK that people will never not let me perform. Like, that's 1980 for me. Mm-hmm. And... to the point where I'm like,
we were down with you since
right. 1980. I'm just like, do you know the words? Because I don't to the second verse.
Oh, you're one of them people.
I've been forgetting. There's so many words in my head. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the worst.
So many words in my head. I'm gonna have a teleprompter at 55. It's gonna happen.
Yo,
it's gonna happen. But
Prince used one. So
I had to reset my energy with that, because I literally pray for records like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, and I got one, and I was like, how dare I be ungrateful and say I don't want to sing it? And it makes me happy. There's so many ways to sing that record, and like sometimes I don't sing it at all. And then you have to consider,
or you just Bobby Brown it. Then I'm saying it.
Genuine. That's my new reference.
Genuine.
Oh, he's a new level.
He said, if you're,
Oh my God.
I said, good Lord, this is amazing.
They just sing everything.
Everywhere.
I paid for you to sing it.
He just whines. I'm just a, hey.
Hey.
Funny girl. Get it. Do it. I'm the one in the back screaming, look, if I'm a father. Me. It's me, Genuine High.
What?
matter. This is terrible. I was 12 singing Suck Man, Filth.
Ain't you related to Genuine?
Yeah, I was about to say.
You related to Genuine? You never told me that ever. No.
Lavondrius?
Lavondrius is related to.
Wait, what?
No, I'm a character on Parks and Rec. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
And Genuine is me and Retta's first cousin. That's revealed in the last
That's the
episode.
The other black person on the show on Parks and Rec. Okay,
it's,
got it.
It's you don't watch Parks and Rec.
Wow. I didn't know it was still
Parks
on.
And Rec. It's no, like, it's not.
It's on reruns everywhere. Okay. Yeah. It's on every day.
It's the Wu Tang of comedy.
Yeah, I know that. I know everybody came from there.
It's one of the best sitcoms.
Yes, but one of the longest running jokes was about her long lost brother, which they had me play.
That's dope.
And Genuine is her first cousin.
Oh, yeah. She's on that Netflix show. I know.
That's right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So.
And they had Genuine come out and sing Pony for Little
Sam. No. I'm going to go watch. Thank you.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
So shout out to my first cousin, Genuine.
Elgin Lumpkin.
For all of me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Slight side note.
Go ahead.
I'll admit it, because Bill's like, you fake motherfucker. You know, I forgot about the interlude.
Mm-hmm.
I totally forgot about that.
We did.
So even in capping your music, I was like, oh shit, I'm on this. I totally forgot about that.
Yep.
What was the impetus, or at least the process in creating this record?
I was going through a lot. I was coming off of like The Shine and American Boy.
Mm-hmm.
All of my worlds were completely shifting, and I say that in the nicest way. Like, friends were wilding. I was wilding. Boyfriends.
What is that whirlwind like?
You're not on the ground, and you're trying to desperately hold on to the ground that you know, because like moving it out from under you anyway.
And with 9 siblings.
Oh.
Also, how does that affect you?
Oh, it was wild. Like, my little sister, my family moved out of London because my little sister, one of them was so hype. It was just, it was unsettling for them. And that's when I realized, I say to people
they took
now,
on your success? I got siblings too.
Not on purpose. One of them got a little wild with it. And then we had to move then the whole family moved.
Okay.
Because it was like, you taking my stuff to school and to like do the school thing. And like, all my sisters this and people liking you for the trainers you wore or you brought that your sister's trainers, and then news people creeping up around my family house. We still sort of lived in the hood a bit and going to the drug dealers 2 doors down and talking. And I was like, my littlest brother, who's an accountant and a lawyer and an incredible, brilliant young man, had to go up there and be a bit gangster. And it's just like, that's my actual family.
Mm-hmm.
I raised and, you know, so I'm dealing with that whilst never being at home. And the people that you're trying to call your family were out here just not having your back. It was just a lot going on during the All of Me period. And I'm dating a dude who is just wildly trash.
We all are trash.
Nah, not all of you. He was.
You usually start out that way.
You know, 10 years ago he was trash. So here we are. Almost 10 years ago. And I was going through a lot. And trying to just hold on to something that looked like love or looked like home, and it was all needed to go.
Is it hard navigating that? And, you know, I know that where most people either had is their home, but I mean, you moved to the States and kind of without any stable family. Well, I don't know. For some people, getting away from the family might be a necessary move.
No, it wasn't necessary more than I just knew I had to do that for my career, because it was like, it was just tiring every 3 months getting on a flight and your energy just is up and down, right? You know, that toured extensively for a very long time. And so imagine doing that, and then everyone demands all this stuff of you. So I was like, I'm just going to move there. And my mom was like, I knew it was going to happen eventually. They helped me. They sent me off. And they would try and come and visit. And then the visits dwindled. And then I was never home, so it didn't really matter. And then I would go home to London, and I couldn't go home. And so they come and see me at the hotel for 2 hours right before I go to the airport again. And it was just like I lost touch, per se, not on purpose, but by force of we just didn't have the time. So it would be like I was so grateful for the hotel suites that I had, because the whole family could come
crash
and I was come crash and I just got to sit down. My mom would bring African food and we would sit down. Yeah, hot. Right. And the whole vibe, and they were gone, and I have to go back to being a stellar robot. You know, there's a lot happening.
Actually, there's a question I do have that I'm probably certain I wouldn't be able to ask had you come on the show a year ago. Now, you're dealing with, okay, when we say the fuckery that is this current administration, you're actually dealing with this two times over.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so what is the, not you know, DEFCON 5 or whatever, but what's the current concern of yours or level of fear concern when it comes to you traveling overseas or your family coming over here or you? Because I see where this is about to go. If old money gets a second term in office.
Please don't
know. Well, I mean, 2 weeks ago, there's been 9 other countries added, and all of them from Africa.
Because of the year of the return, you think?
Well,
wow, you really think that?
I believe
was
it.
Was Ghana added to the...
No, but because they have other deals with different U.S. countries. But I feel like it was just the idea. Here's my thing that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
You give the energy of, you scare people, you make them feel like, you know what I mean? And that does more for people's energy than or people's perception of what's going on than the actual thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
would
I feel
you
like
rather
that's
be
what
loved
he's doing,
or feared?
That part.
Yeah.
And it's like the fear of like, oh, well, now it's going to, like, can we really go there? But meanwhile, the energy at the top of the year was like, we can do this. It's not as crazy as Nigeria. What?
So has travel been hard for you coming in and out of the States, like,
well,
extra,
no.
Like, longer at the...
As soon as I saw that go in, I actually went and applied for my passport. So
okay.
Like, I have dual citizenship.
Okay.
So, like, because I was like, nah, no, 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 no. All my things are here.
And then luckily,
all my things are here. So let me make sure I'm good on both sides of the war.
Yeah.
Your family's passport says Britain on it.
Yeah, but the beautiful thing is, we also, like I said, I'm very clear. So dual citizenship's there. We have Senegalese, we have Sierra Leone passports. We have different,
yes.
We could go.
So jealous.
You know, we've done smart things, strategically smart. My brothers and sisters, I love them for this. They're very smart about how they handle themselves, and I'm proud of them and that, you know, they really hold their side of family thing. They don't look at me like, you got to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They really are brilliant in their own rights. So I'm proud of them. They hold it down.
5 passports. I'm never going to jail. Okay.
How
okay.
about that? Take that to heart.
How about that?
Take that to your heart. Yes. It's not a game because he's wild. This guy's crazy.
So now that we are where we are and, well, the aforementioned 21 Savage being one of the biggest UK...
I'm not exports. Lying because I'm still like flummoxed the fact that I didn't
that.
Know it. Like,
oh wait, you're just finding out now?
No, like when everyone found out. I was
oh,
like,
whenever,
what?
Right, exactly. So, well, I'm just saying that it's ubiquitous. Like, how do you feel about the current climate of today's artists that are coming from the UK and kind of the?
I love it. I would love to see more of them actually do the effective work here, though. You
okay,
know? Like. Besides the big pop artists that they pull out of the UK, I'd love to see like the R&B and the hip hop artists do more of the groundwork. Because I know that everyone's always like, yo, you really did it. And I'm just like, you should be here doing the radio runs and doing the like the smaller, the black culture things.
Yeah.
Because it's like they're selling you on one thing. But the thing I know I had to do with the All of Me album, mm-hmm. with Thank You, was work backwards. So American Boy came and it blew, right? Black people here didn't really know me like that though.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did Thank You, I was like, it's fine, we're gonna, and they were like, no, 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 you're going to Mississippi, no, no, no,
yeah.
You're gonna go see some black people and you're really gonna talk and be out there. And I had to do it, and that's the stuff that I think that people miss when they say like, oh, you're big around the world, you're going to America, you're going clean. But you know, Joe in Champaign, Illinois don't know you, you know. And it's like, and you know, and Mavis over there in Mississippi has no clue. Just throwing out names.
I love that in your mind.
Like, it's not Joe Mavis. It's absolutely Mavis. Not.
Your
but...
hypothetical audience.
I don't know.
Have the same names as my grandmama and everything.
I was like, tell us more where you think.
Elma, Bessie.
But it's true. Like, but like real folks who just like, in the same way that like.
I was going to say, yeah, that it just hit me
my
that.
My grandma don't know Bruno Mars. So in the same kind of way, like, look, it might be the poppinest thing and you might look like, but go and do the
damn,
work.
You said your mom
gonna,
don't know?
My grandma.
Your grandma. Okay.
Like, you know, like.
Well, wait, I was going to say, that so that's, the, that was smart of you to.
Yeah.
Yo, don't, you, you're just hitting me now.
And nobody like, else has followed. Nobody's looking at those footsteps.
I can't name the amount of times that we performed in Mississippi or Alabama or, you know. I mean, at least in the last. I mean, we don't do the down south states as much as we do our regular.
Because y'all were built on colleges too, though, don't you think so? Because of the foundation and the way.
Yeah.
But then you also have a different way into people's spirits with TV. So it's a different. You know.
Yeah, but he still got to get the black vote. I mean, well.
But that's still Jimmy Fallon's band.
I was about to say, I still, but them black people are populating in that audience on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, they do it in his research and their kids putting them on.
Because all our families are begging us for tickets.
He has nice Super Bowl commercial, boss.
Hello. Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah.
But there's
that old thing?
There's a certain amount of work they got to do that I still am just like, I want to see a Georgia Smith come here and do that run.
Yeah.
And I want to see, like, I want to see Miss Banks come here and do, you know, and it's that fine line of you don't have to, but you should. You know, I said to Sims, I was like, you don't have to move here, but you should come here and stay for a while. Yeah. Or come and whatever you want to do. Like, but you don't have to, but you should for a while. Come and, you can't sell somebody or tell someone that you get their culture if you're not here in it.
You know, not
in the
for
same way, like, you know, like you went to the UK and you lived it, you could talk to it.
Not for nothing. Well, I mean, we did it because like we knew they would accept us, but not for nothing. When you're fine and okay.
That's good, yeah.
You have a potential second chapter as a manager. Or at least,
it's gonna happen.
I mean, a lot of your talking points are that of like almost Kara Lewis, like an agent.
Wow.
Because I don't think that your average, when a person comes from where they are to the United States, I think 9 times out of 10 they're just thinking of New York, L.A., Vegas, maybe Chicago, like a major city. Whereas you know people aren't thinking of long range.
I had to physically do it. That's why I know it works. You know, like
once you see them, don't you see it still? Like once you see them and you go to their town, they love you for life.
They love you for life. Look, I went to Selma and sang Conqueror the next day when TV One did the special, and I met Tremaine Hawkins, who to me is like the God in R in gospel, things like that. And she knew my record, and my whole heart exploded, like
wow.
Like things like that. Like I lose my mind about things like that because it's like this is who I grew up listening to as an 8, 9, 10 year old in my mom's kitchen, and I'm sitting there going, "What shall I do?" And then she's standing in front of my face singing Conqueror, and I almost collapsed. Like, but you don't. You're not going to get to those moments where it's those people, we stand on their shoulders if you don't go and touch the people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to get those. And I just feel like we have so much great, we write the rules. Come here and talk to people about the rules that we write in. Like, come and help them understand the new swerve, the new energy about it all. And from our point of view, like, it's wildly lonely. It's been wildly lonely for a very long time, being me, Marsha.
Right.
Me and Marsha.
I was about to say, you and Marsha.
Like, yeah, it's just us, Marsha.
Well,
what we gonna do now?
I tell people all the time on this show, you have to build a tribe. Like, there has to be at least nine like-minded people.
Yeah. Well, I started my label, like, on that, because I was like, well, I have all of this to give, and I want to be able to leave this legacy, like do the work and, you know, come here and put time in, and you're not going to sleep for like 20 years, but it's all right. It'd be okay.
You'll have a ball while you're doing
it. Yeah, you know, I have fun.
Sleep when you're dead, man.
That's like the only option you'll have. Like, so also.
So do you like LA now?
I like it.
Do you like it as a single lady?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. I just wanted to clarify because, you know, you got to tell
that
people.
That part is trash.
Listen.
But here's the thing. Okay. I have to change my energy about all that stuff because I. Because
there might be potential.
It's definitely. No, there's a couple of potentials out there. I definitely.
Okay, good. In LA?
Yeah. Okay. Is it like 2, 3?
Are they brown?
Yeah.
Yes. Henny. People don't know that that's hard in LA.
It's hard.
This is the podcast I'm waiting for. Talk about navigating the single life in LA.
Short version, it's trash. No, long, no, it's not trash. It's just, my friends always say to me, look, as hard as you work on your music and your life and your career, you have to work on your love life exactly as hard.
But can you find love in LA?
But wait, and did Angie give you the speech?
They have to come out of town. They have to come from out of town. No.
And did Angie give you the speech that she gave me about, listen, Laia, you have to open your mind when you come to LA.
Someone
you have
say
to
that.
Angie Stone or Nissel?
Angela Nizzle.
She was like, Stone.
Yeah. Angela Nizzle and Don White were like, listen, you got a day outside your race. I was like, but they don't holler.
I tried.
They don't holler?
They holler. I tried.
Oh, they did?
It was interesting.
Yeah. Right. It's just not the same. It's just like, why go for second if you want? It is the accent. I know.
You think it's the accent?
No, develop an accent.
It's no.
Just say yeah after everything.
No, but I want but I want what I want. And if they, I want the best, just like the rest do.
I want what I want.
You know what I'm like?
You know what? But like, LA has opened me out though. Like, I am a lot more like, I see two sides of everything. It's balance. It's how is that person feeling when they, like, I'm that human, because I can't be a judgy Baptist. Like, I've done too much, I've been through too much to like put anything on anybody and say, well, that's that. And you know, I just kind of, I'm open, but also like, I want what I want.
You gotta compromise on something.
Every day I have to sit here and be like,
you know something though? Wait, it just hit me. You do sometimes chameleonize yourself into another person.
Yeah.
Slight confession.
Tell me.
Okay.
Oh no.
So when I went to Smart, Black and Funny.
You did.
It took me 8 minutes to realize I was sitting with you and Melanie Fiona.
Are you serious?
I didn't hear a trace of accent.
That's wild.
And I was like, yo, these girls are so nice to me. That's so cool.
That's wild. We sat there. I probably had different hair, too. Like.
And then Melanie called me. Your hair was changed. Yeah. I was sitting behind you at first.
Yeah.
And then Melanie says something. I was like, wait, I feel like I know this person. Yeah. And her hair was different.
Yeah.
And then your accent came out. I was like, oh, fuck.
Is this Stella and Melanie Fiona?
I've been learning American accents, too. Because every time I go, so I'm doing acting, more acting now.
Oh, here they go. More gonna take our jobs.
It's terrible.
Come on, Cynthia Erivo. Go ahead, give it to us. Go ahead. You know that's a thing, Amir. You know, they coming over here. They getting these acting jobs, you know.
Oh, you're in.
I've been doing it. Some of the best actors are from the UK. I've been doing it. Yes. God, let me tell you. But like, the thing is, they keep giving me these roles. I laugh with my manager, Mike, because I'm just like, first of all, they keep asking me to be strippers.
Ooh.
And I keep being like, where? I don't see it. I don't have enough for this.
I never looked at you walk away, so I don't really know.
You know what?
Go to Roscoe some more.
I don't have enough for this, okay?
And Mike then, looking like, if you don't shut the fuck up, I'm here.
I had beefed with one of my agents, like, yo, stop sending me these damn, like, we not, nah, bro.
You better have said yes to Hustlers.
Relax.
Though.
Nah, I didn't get that one.
Oh, okay.
I should have got that one. That would have been fun. I could have learned how to actually strip.
Then you would have been on the Super Bowl.
I have wild.
I'm just joking because I love her.
Wait. That's what I was
I
like,
love Hustlers, by the way.
The hell back. Look, stripper pole.
Yo, stripper poles in the bowl? Okay.
I had a time. It was a. stripper story. Sorry. I was in the strip club. First time I heard my song outside in Atlanta. Magic.
Magic City
or Onyx?
Wait. American Boy?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
No, it was at Onyx. Onyx? And we went there to treat the guys because, like, life.
I don't know about
we were
that.
On the road, and I was like, let's go to Chick Love then. All right. How they got good wings? Sure. Let's go.
Yes. Strip clubs are based on their wings.
Wings.
Shout out to Spirit. All right. Listen.
You can't even get the names out fast enough. I know it's so many good strip clubs with good food. Come on, let's go.
No.
I found one in LA.
I kid you not.
You did?
Wait, there's a good strip club?
I don't know if it's good, because I was like, well, here we are.
Because I heard Cheetahs was
I went the other day. I was like, here we are. This is interesting.
What is it?
It's Sam Browse or something like that. It's downtown-ish. Well, I didn't eat the food.
Oh, but the girls were nice.
The ladies were lovely. Okay. So here's the thing. I go in there and I'm just like, again, I'm not judgy. I don't care. Live your best life, right?
Right.
And it was just always weird when they play my record. And the dude set it up like, we got some. So we got. You had.
Don't you hate that?
You had Lloyd in the house. You had like Lloyd, and this is years ago. Lloyd, Bow Wow, right. And a few other singers, right? Okay. Early singers,
right?
R&B singers, and they're like that side of the club, and I'm just like, oh shit, oh this like ah, and I'm just in there trying to like, okay, but I'm me though. But like, what's
up? Right.
And then the guy, my girl, my assistant, had told the dude that I was there. And she's like, yo, we got a real singer in the house. And I was like, oh, shit. And then he puts the record on.
I like Lloyd.
I do too. I'm a fan of his. Yeah. And I was just like embarrassed. And he goes to me, yo, sing the song. And then I'm singing American Boy. And this girl's
you
like.
You sing in the club?
And she's like. And she's majorette. And twirling. And I'm just like, ooh, take, that's really good. Okay. Take me on a woo. She's like, I just love you. You just so dope. You're so cute. You're so like, you're so classy. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then she hugs me and it's like, oh, is that weird, awkward?
Oh, with the
inverted
with
the, hug. Yeah.
With the lotion smell on you
all
now.
All over me now.
And the glitter.
And then it happened again at Stadium with Thank You.
Oh, in DC?
At Thank You with Stadium. That shit was no, they played Break My Heart. And then they all came come up to me in a line, like a greet and a meet and greet line. That was
like church?
But they didn't dance for you, so
no.
It's like.
But they were like coming to be like nice, so it was like, no, you're you. Like,
girl, I need you to dance. Like, take them clothes off.
No, don't. I will put money in the dancer's hand.
What?
I will not make it rain.
I was just considering it. You just messed
it up. It's not gonna happen.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna F it all up.
Style.
I am the killer of vibes.
Will you take this dollar piece?
No, I'm like. Amazing.
Wait, you put it in their hands?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Estelle.
I have a Stevie J story.
Wait.
It's happened at Diamonds and Magnet. I've had a wild and crazy life.
Don't be mad, Mike.
No, no, no. Mike knew about this story.
Mike
Stevie
probably
J.
there with it. Good.
No, the guys had set me up. We were on the road and I said to myself, I tweeted something like, yo, Mimi be like, when he leaves, I'll be quiet. When he's here, I'll be quiet. But when he leaves, I'll be talking again about Stevie J. When it first come up on the show, when they were first on the show. And I tweeted that. And then my team were like, I was like, yo, what if he came to the show tonight? Ha, 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 ha. So the team make him come to the after party. Ooh. And I'm there like, oh, my little sister and me, Stevie J. My little sister comes on the road. She's my roadie. My homie.
All right.
She come on the road and she was like, yo. I was like, it's Stevie J. We're having this whole breakdown in our soul, right?
Oh, God.
And Stevie J comes in the room and I'm just like, I got to ask him if this is real. So I says, yo. He's like, comes up. He goes, yo, good to meet you, sis. And I'm like, hi. And he's like, I said, wait, you have to tell me, is that real? Like, do you really be, is this real? Like the face and
the rat
like,
face.
Oh, it's real all day, baby. And he does the face, and I'm just like, okay.
Well, charming.
It gets worse. It gets worse. So we end up in a strip club with Stevie J, and my whole team is trying to find a way for me to have an interaction with Stevie J and the stripper. And they're just doing this for their pure shits and giggles.
Oh.
They're doing this for their, because they
I
know
you
it's
meant
about
for the gram.
Oh, okay. They're doing this so they can laugh right, at right. me. And so we
and
end
look
up
for a new job tomorrow morning.
Something like it. No, I didn't have it. But I was definitely like, oh, this is weird. Oh. I go to the bathroom. On the way back, he grabs me and he pulls me to the stage and I'm just like, oh, what's gonna happen? I'm really in my soul like, oh.
Like an old lady. Oh.
And he pulls me and it's like a big lady and she's like, go in. And like, she's going and her booty's up. And
she smacked you in your face.
No, and she's like, this girl is uncomfortable. I'm just like, yeah. And so if I'm standing, if her booty's facing the audience, I'm standing with my right side. I remember this. And he's facing me and he's like, yo, look at her, man. I was like, what? He's like, yo, look at her.
You're not looking at her?
And he says worse things. I was just like, oh, it's all right. She's doing great.
He's like, look at them titties.
Look, I'm traumatized.
Why are you going to the strip club? You don't belong there.
I don't, but it's fun. And the wings are
right. Check it. Check it out.
I gave her the money
if
in her hand.
Vegas,
said, hey, girl, thank you. That was so great. She was like, thank you. But I feel like they appreciate it. I don't throw it at them be demeaning.
I feel you. If look, if we're in Vegas,
he said, look at her.
We're gonna go. We're gonna go to the Spearmint Rhino because they had the best French fries ever.
Okay, I've been there. I'm with you on that. I have been there. We had the Wild Belvedere. I've been to all the strip clubs and I'm the most polite. I feel like
I can give y'all a structured breakdown on the best foods.
Across, in the strip club.
I actually am very interested in that.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, Atlanta is actually, the best strip club in Atlanta is actually Follies. Like, the best dancers.
At Follies?
Yes. Died. No, not literally. They killed. No.
What are they doing?
They really want to dance at Follies because they have a good rate there.
Like the old Gold Club. I got you.
Well, yeah, because the owner lets them keep their money.
at least more than most do.
No. Some will tax the shit.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
He makes a killing off of the bar and more importantly the water, which I don't want to give his secrets away.
Interesting.
Charges for water. Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Well, but he has a great deal on bottled water. I don't know. Maybe a friend of ours
gets in the water.
Gives a friend of ours. But yeah. Yeah, fell off the truck. But yeah, Follies. It also has great food in Atlanta.
Whole commercial.
Good to know. Yeah, right. You have to do like a little book. This is a
John
new book.
G said you're not allowed to do those. We gonna ask
him. I mean, that would be fun. Like I'd want to know or do a site or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we gotta find a strip club. We're looking for someone.
We need to have
money.
A green book for entertainers.
That's right. No, so serious.
Green book.
At least you know if they serve breakfast after, you know, like 4.
No, real life. I'm gonna have to talk to you about this.
This is the quietest you ever been, Steve. Like,
I'm nominating myself for this job.
So.
Oh God. Okay. All right. So we gotta wrap this up, y'all.
Yeah.
We done talked about everything. The church in the UK and immigration and pancakes CBJ. At Follies. So okay, so and love in LA.
Yeah.
So for you, what is your hope for this year? We're already in February. Like, what are you?
I'm really like, so my main thing is the label goes up. I have a new artist that I really, really, really like will go for, like in the same way John went for me. Mm-hmm. She's incredible. She's a great singer. My thing is I'm not investing in anybody who I have to pull from the ground up. I'm investing in people who are doing the work and who want to actually learn the business and be sustainable on their own, you know? So
where's she from?
She's from Illinois, Chicago.
Okay.
She's really
dope.
I love
you call it Illinois.
Illinois.
It's so respectful. What about Chicago?
She's from Illinois. Okay. But family in Chicago. And like, she's been working, you know, and she's been really trying to do this. So
can we name her?
Yeah,
Jamie Woods.
Okay.
She's incredible. Oh,
that's a hard name to follow on Instagram.
Jamie Woods. Instagram. But she has a beautiful voice. She just stands and sings. I believe she's going to be incredible. You're going to see it.
Sweet.
But she also knows the business and is learning it quickly, you know?
Okay.
And like, so the label's going up. We're doing TV, films, documentaries. We're expanding in like the festival space. Mm-hmm. We're just, you know, I know a lot of things that I see and I understand the position that I'm in. And I just want to make sure that going forward, anybody that comes here understands that they have this outlet and they have this unique space that they can really run down, whether you know, because I needed that person to, what's the word, help me, and I had to figure out a lot of things myself. Mentoring. You know, so yeah, mentoring is essentially the key. So I've, you know, a lot of artists come through and I definitely touch
there you have this, it folks so. Paying it forward,
that's happening. Yeah. And Essence this year is going, and like we going again. We have the Bashment, the Dancehall, the Soca.
Nice.
And I think I feel like I don't know if I spoke too soon about that, but
wait,
like,
wait,
yeah,
what did you just? I didn't hear rap. What?
So every year, no, Essence. It's like last year.
Oh, you want Essence this year?
They're expanding there.
Yeah.
So, it's not just the side room. They have other facts of
and
black
we are,
culture.
We are it's
diaspora there.
Yeah. Last year we did it with them, and it was the first year we sold out. It was the highest rated like performance, and so this year we're doing it again. And my thing was to make sure that whenever we touch down, you understand the diaspora's here. Yes. It's not just about, it's definitely black culture, but also here we are. Yes. Because that's where I come from. Like, I never do a American boy show. Mm-hmm. I go and do a show and it's Bashment, it's dancehall, it's all the music, it's drum bass, it's house. And I want people to know that we can touch all those spaces about feeling like, oh, you're alternative or, oh, you're mm-hmm. different. Nah, this is what we do as a people. That's what it is. So we're doing that with Essence, and that's what we do.
Put your flag down.
Yeah. Yes. Hell yeah.
Strong J.
EST 1980 out here.
Strong girl.
Strong J, though.
Strong J, girl. Strong J.
Yeah. Me and the team are strong, and we get it done. We're getting it done. I'm proud.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Estelle, we thank you very much for coming
Having
and
me.
Speaking to us.
Lovers Rock.
Yes. Lover, all of your product is now streamable.
Thank you. Yeah,
I was about to say in your local record store, 8-track.
It's all up there.
Tapes and cassettes.
We got new records coming this year, so too.
Beautiful. Excellent. That's great to hear. All right, well, on behalf of Team Supreme, Sick Steve, Boss Bill, Laia.
Go to the strip club.
Yes, let's go to the strip club.
Yes, we're going to strip club right now. Sorry, Fon Ticolo, you're still out smoking cigarettes. And all right, we will see y'all next week on the next go-round of Questlove Supreme. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.